It's indeed our great privilege to get to be back with you good people here at the Texas Count meeting. And as Brother Jeb has alluded, it is my first time here to Stratton when you've hosted it here. Someone asked me not long ago, Brother Jonathan, do you still get nervous when you walk in the pulpit? My answer was an affirmative yes. I wish they could see me now. Don't take my pulse. And don't check my blood pressure. The very idea of standing before such a great people melts my heart. Even more so, it melts me when I think that I trust and pray this afternoon that I stand in the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If He doesn't come to my aid, it'll be a failure. Now, I've got a degree, it's a piece of paper that hangs on the wall in that office. It says, I have a degree in broadcasting and a minor in communication management. That degree says that I'm supposed to be able to communicate with you. I'm supposed to be able to make a speech. But let's be clear this afternoon, there's a difference in speech making and gospel preaching. The greatest orators in the world can have it all sewed up and line it all out and be precisely right on all of his facts and figures. And it just kind of, David, leaves me empty when he's done. But now when it comes to gospel preaching, Brother Tim, when it comes to gospel preaching, it takes something that is above any man in this house. It takes the very presence of God Almighty.
Amen.
And you pray just a little while this afternoon. I had a subject all worked out for you. I don't like this conference. I don't like it. But I learned a long time ago that I best follow the Lord, Loudermilk. And as long as the Lord will come and lead us for just a little while, we'll stay. And when He don't, I'll quit. I will not stand here and make a mess of it. You got my word on that.
Promises?
Promise. That's a promise. You got that. I'll not stand here and hammer hat and make a mess in God's word, in God's house, in front of God's people that He's bought and paid for with His own precious blood. Such royal priesthood that I stand in front of this afternoon. Brother Huckabee deserves the very best. And we have the very best in our Savior Jesus Christ and the way He set up His kingdom here. When the songs of Zion are sung out of these voices right here, bless your heart, and men come and preach to us out of a word that's been tried by an earthen vessel, tried by silver, by an earthen vessel, seven times. It's been tried by God Himself.
Amen.
It'll hold louder milk when everything else is on fire.
Amen.
So now you pray. Well, a little text comes this afternoon as Brother Montgomery was up this afternoon, and I hadn't thought of this text in a good long while. So I'll have to follow the Lord. Now you pray that the Lord will come, and I hope when I get through, maybe you can see yourself in it this afternoon. I'm just that selfish. When a man's up preaching, I want to see Jonathan in his preaching. I want to know, I want him to tell me. I never get tired of being told that I'm a bankrupt sinner.
Amen.
That I was in need of something that nobody else on earth could do for me except one man, and that's Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
I still need to hear that same old story over and over and over. I remember the two preachers riding around preaching on a series of meetings together. Me and Conley. We'll use Conley and me here. He's my buddy. I know I threw you under the bus, Conley. I'm sorry. But he's my buddy, so I'll use him. Me and Conley's riding around, and after two or three nights of preaching, Conley says to me, says, Jonathan, I just want to know something. How are you taking the same text and preaching a different sermon every night? I looked at him and said, I don't know how you're taking a different text and preaching the same sermon every night. You follow? You follow the difference now? Look here. It's got to be Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And for all of you that's worried about the clock, I don't carry one. Yes, you've got one in the back, but I'll not glance at it much when the Lord comes. Now, I do remember the time that I was walking around with a little cripple boy in the graveyard, and we got to a tombstone, and on the tombstone had that man's name, and it had a WW2 on it. And the little boy asked me, said, he's about his age, he said, Brother Jonathan, what's that WW2? I said, that means that brother died in the service. He said, it had to have been an afternoon service. Now, when folks start dying, I promise I'll quit. I didn't come to preach to spiritual dead people. I come to preach to live people. Amen? So, now you pray. Let's go to Psalms 89th chapter real quick. And I'll try to take text here on a particular word. I trust the Lord being... Well, actually, I got to get Proverbs. I wanted to give you 89:15. Here's the problem that we as old Baptist preachers have is we've got this. The book says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. So I stand in a congregation of folks this afternoon that I trust still know the joyful sound. And that joyful sound cannot be manufactured by the man standing in the pulpit. Amen. That takes God Almighty to turn it to where it is the joyful sound, and it resonates in your soul to cause you to mourn for your sins and rejoice in Jesus Christ. All right, so now then, let's go see if I can find the text. Psalm, Proverbs. Proverbs in the 11th chapter. 11th chapter, Proverbs, and it's written here in the 15th verse. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. And he that hateth suretyship is sure. You pray now. He that is surety. If I've got a thought, if I've got a text, if I've got a subject or a word. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. Now that's good English. That's good English. The English Bible. Let's deal with that word smart for a minute. That is not intelligence there. Okay? There's many brethren that are in this house a whole lot smarter in intelligence than the poor dumb country Alabama preacher in front of you this afternoon. But that word smart there is a word that means it hurts. I've been knowing that since I was a little boy. The reason I've been knowing that is when we would be on the farm, we would hit our thumb with a hammer or whatever it is, run into a tractor plow, skin our knee, whatever. Dad would say to us, he'd say, boy, that's smarts. That's smarts. And as a child, I thought, Dad, that didn't help my knowledge any. It really didn't. I was dumb for hitting my thumb. And so finally, after him doing that two or three times, I said, Dad, why do you say that smart? Where is that? Oh, that's good English. That means it hurts. He said, you thought I was talking about your intelligence level. I said, well, I did a few times, but I wasn't sure. He said, it means it hurts. So he that is surety for a stranger. Now, a stranger, I don't have to do much defining that. Brother Montgomery's text, his subject this afternoon, kind of stirred my mind to this. In that Peter, I'm not going to re-preach it. In that Peter was told by the Lord to go down and preach at Cornelius' house. Peter, being a Jew, a starch Jew, was told to go preach at a bunch of strangers' houses. You with me? All right, now listen. I told somebody, I guess Brother David, me and the crowd that's with me yesterday, we look like a bunch of tourists riding around in your great state of Texas. But now then, I've finally made it to where I don't have to look like a tourist. Brother David said, no, you've made it among friends. So we count ourselves as friends and fellow heirs of Christ and brethren here below. We're not strangers. Some of you I've never laid eyes on. You've not seen me. Some of these brethren I've known for years, but some of you have never seen me.
So in some essence, we're a stranger because you just don't know me personally. But yet we have a common denominator, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So in that, we're not strangers.
Right.
In that, we're fellow heirs of the throne. In that, we're brethren and sisters in Christ. But the Scripture says, he that is a surety for a stranger must smart for it. He's got a hurt for it. I turn over to some very familiar Scripture over in Ephesians in chapter 2. And you know this well. It says here in 2 and 11, it says, wherefore remember that ye, being times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcised, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants, of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Oh, I love those buts of the Scripture, don't you? But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and he hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, and contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both Jew and Gentile, both, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which are where? Afar off. Were, past tense, were afar off. And to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigner, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, bless your heart. Do you know who a stranger is now? You and I were counted strangers. You and I was counted strangers and heathens because we were not part of that Abrahamic covenant in the Jewish world. You and I as Gentiles were without hope and without God in this world. Now those pagans, those Gentile pagans before the Gospels ever carried to them, they had rituals that is beyond you and I today. They practiced things that is ungodly and evil to the point that it makes me grossly sick. The problem is there's still places in this world where they practice such gross and ungodly things. Guess what they are still today? They are still far away from the gospel. They're far away from the Lord. Listen to me, but you today, even though you are a Gentile, maybe there's a Jew in the house by nature. If you are, praise God for you today. But bless your heart, most all of us today are Gentiles. We are all strangers according to the covenant. We're all strangers. We're all afar off. But bless your heart, because of this one man, the only one that in the universe, this one man, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the second person in the Godhead, came and took on himself a formness like unto his brethren. And bless your heart, he's broke down that middle wall of partition. And now you bunch of Gentiles, you dogs, you heathens, how many different titles do you want me to give you? But you strangers, you've been brought in because of something that Jesus Christ did. Let's be very clear. He that is surety for a stranger must smart for it. I tell you today, my friends, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from Genesis 1, before the world ever was, he stood as surety for his children. He stood as surety for his bride. He said in the blood covenant, I'll go and I'll pay a price they can't pay. Hey, listen,
Oh, it just drives me crazy. It gets my blood really boiling. The very idea that God looked down through the annals of time and he's seen Tony Lester at the old Texas camp meeting every year, year after year, year after year. He's going to be a good little boy. God looked down through time and seen the ones that's going to be good and accept him and come to him and all. Woo, bless your heart. That just drives me crazy. I've read the book. The book says that he looked down through the annals of time and he saw that none was good. No, amen. Not one. They're all like sheep have gone astray. Oh, bless your heart when you can really see yourself as like a sheep that's gone astray. When you can see what you are by nature and that you were dead when Adam ate of that tree and plunged all mankind right down to the last one that was conceived just a while ago in his mother's womb. Bless your heart. They're all dead. They're all dead and without hope in the world. Bless your heart. Listen to me. Even those Jews without spiritual life are dead. That's why Paul says all of Israel is not all of Israel. But you are Israel today in a spiritual aspect. And you that were strangers had to have a surety. You had to have somebody that was willing to smart for you. Smart for you. Oh, we'll get some more of his smartness in a minute. Let's go deal with just a little something else. Let's run over here. And I find a... Oh, you can always go back to the old book of Genesis. Genesis means the beginnings. Let's go back to the beginnings. Let's go to Genesis 42. Now, for time's sake, I'm not going to read a lot. I've already read more than what I like to read. Okay? It's all good. You can read the Bible at home. You come to hear preaching. Amen? All right, so you pray now for just a minute now. I'm going to set a story with you. Story. I don't like to call it that, Mark. It's the Word of God and it's good. And it's truthful, okay? But I'm going to set this before you and try to put it in a frame so you can see this. And I want you to see yourself in it. Philip, I never know how to do. Do I go ahead and tell them? I guess I will. Go ahead and tell you right now. Oh, Brother Loudermilk, you've got a son named this. I know Brother Loudermilk well enough to know that he's got a son named Benjamin. Is that right?
His middle name is Benjamin.
Benjamin. I want you here at the Texas camp meeting for just a few minutes to go ahead and know that you're Benjamin and what I'm fixing to tell you about. You're Benjamin. All right, now listen to me real careful. Let's go back real quick, Brother Montgomery, to Genesis 15. And we're going to get that Abrahamic covenant over there. And we're going to have all that. Listen, you go read it when you get home. There's just some homework. But the Lord tells Abram, he says, know of a surety, know of a surety now, that the day's coming when your seed's going to be carried away and they're going to be pilgrims and strangers and they're going to be servants and it's going to last for 400 years. God already said the Egyptian bondage deal is when he told Abraham about it in 15th chapter of Genesis. You can go read that they were delivered in Exodus chapter 12 and it was 430 years to the day. I'm going to say that again. Somebody please say amen. It was 430 years to the day.
Amen.
Y'all ain't wanting to go home yet, are you? Thank you, brother. It's 430 years to the day. Why does that matter? He got his children out right on time out of Egypt. Right on time. That gives me great hope today, Brother Luke Addison, that he's going to get me out of this bondage that I'm in. And he's going to carry me home one sweet day right on time.
Amen.
He'll not be a day late. He'll not be a day early. He's coming, Brother James Isaacs, on time.
Amen.
Yes, sir, he's coming on time. All right, let's get back to Benjamin. We've got a surety. The Lord says it's going to be sure. Yeah, listen, when the Lord tells you something's going to be sure, it's sure now.
Amen.
All right, well, we come to Genesis 42. I got to set some stage. We've had that great 7 years of plenty, right? Oh, they filled up the corn houses. Y'all know all about this. This is the story of Joseph. And Joseph is second in command down there in the land of Egypt. Oh, you can type Joseph to the Lord so many different ways, it's not even funny. I'm not preaching that sermon today. That's another day, all right? But look here. We finally have Joseph down there sitting second in power, riding in the second chariot. We come to the years of famine. 7 years of famine are come on the land. And bless your heart, they got all those storehouses of corn over here. And everybody that wants any corn out of the corn house, out of the storehouse, they got to come see this one man.
Right.
His name is Joseph.
Amen.
Can I type that corn to grace for a minute? If you want any grace today,
timely, okay? Listen, eternal grace is bestowed upon you. You didn't have nothing to do about it. But I need His grace every moment of every day.
Amen.
They've already sung the song, Grace Tis a Charming Sound. You'll have to go see Jesus today, amen? I trust we've come to see Jesus. I know our brethren love to see each other, but ultimately today we need to be looking for the Lord. We need to be wanting to feel His presence and commune with Him. So Joseph is in power. His father Jacob, he says to his boys the first time, get down yonder, get us some corn, go buy it. They go down there. You remember how all this goes. And Joseph accuses them of being spies, and he keeps Simeon down there. Oh, they told that there was one that was not. That meant he was dead. That's Joseph. You're talking to him, right? Okay, now notice this. But our father's an old man, and we've got another brother, and he's down at home with Dad. His name is Benjamin. He's down there. And Joseph says in authority, they didn't know who he was, but he knew who they were. Oh, another type of Christ. I believe it says he came into his own, and his own received him not. Didn't I read it that way? All right, come along now. And we finally come to the point where they go back home. They kept Simeon, and we're going to have to come back. But he said to them, don't you come back down here unless you bring Benjamin. Don't you come back. Don't you come back unless you bring your other brother that I might see him. 42nd chapter, Genesis. 43rd chapter, I apologize. 43:8. They're needing to go back. Jacob's telling them to go back. And they're telling Daddy Jacob, I'm putting this in modern language now. Daddy, we can't go unless we take Benjamin with us. They know you sent us going unless we take Benjamin. Oh, Benjamin can't go. His mother died giving birth to him. His brother's already dead. He believes that, right? For 23 years, some wild beast got him. Can't take Benjamin. I can't let him out of my sight. Daddy, we got to go. They have several conversations about this. That brother that back over in Genesis 37 that stepped up and said, let's don't kill him, said, let's get him out of the pit and sell him to the Midianites. That same brother, his name's Judah. He's going to step up now in 43:8 and say, and Judah said unto Israel his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go that we may live. And not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. And I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. Now here's the same brother that didn't want to kill Joseph, saying, you let me have Benjamin, and I'm going to take him, but I'm going to be a surety for him. And if I don't bring him back down here and set him right, did you read that for me? Set him right before you. It'll be on me. It'll be on me. I'm not going to turn to it. I'm going to tell you about it. Flip a few chapters over. 45, 46. They finally get down into Egypt, and Benjamin went with them. You remember how all that went? The cup in his bag, remember, when they're going back home? And now then we're going to arrest them and put them back in jail. And they're in a mess. Brother Montgomery, they're in a mess. They're in, David Montgomery, I've been in big messes. I've been in big messes. Y'all have all been in big messes. You just don't get up and tell everybody about it, but we all have. These boys are in a mess. Because here they are, all the tribes. Here they are, the 12 tribes, except Joseph standing down here. And he puts the cup in Benjamin's bag and sends them back home. And then he tells the police, go down yonder and get them. And whoever my cup is in the bag, you bring them down here and he's going to be my servant. Bring him back. They come back. Guess whose cup? Guess whose bag the cup was in? The guilt laid on Benjamin. Benjamin didn't do it. No, Benjamin didn't do it. Joseph had the cup put in there. But there it is. It's on Benjamin. And they get back down there. And Judah is there. And remember what Judah had already said over there in 43:8. Judah had said, oh, Father, let him go with me. I'll be a surety for him, Pop. Let him go with me. And I'll bring him and I'll set him back down right here before you one more time. If not, let it leave me. You have me and my sons. Oh, Brother David,
So finally, if you read it real careful, it says that he went and talked to Joseph, and he spoke softly in his ear and began to rehearse what had went on, how that he, Judas, said, I spoke up. I'm standing as a surety for this boy Benjamin. You've got to let him go back. And you keep me. You keep me. Because he's got to go back home to daddy. Now, you know how this ends. This ends well.
Sure.
Finally, Joseph cried with a loud voice and caused all the Egyptians to flee the room. And there he was in the midst of his brethren, and it says that he says, I am Joseph, thy brother. Whoa. And it scared them.
Yes, it did.
They knew what they had done to him.
Yep.
It scared them boys. And what did they say? Oh, my goodness. I mean, you can only imagine the fright, Mark, in their hearts and in their souls. This is the one that we put in a pit wherein no water was. This is the one we sold. This is the one we've lied to daddy about. We carried him the false evidence. Oh, here he is. And what does he say? He's not mad at him. He fell on him and kissed him. And says what to him? He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God knew good and well that there was a famine coming. He knew it. And to save Jacob and the 12 tribes. I don't believe God caused their sin, Brother Hunter. No, no, no. But God allowed those boys, their jealousy, to do what they did to Joseph. And God overturned it for their good.
Right.
Ain't that all? That's the God I still serve. I don't know about y'all in West Texas. But I serve a God that takes the evil and ungodliness of this world and overturns it to our good sometimes. I've seen him do it in my own life. Bless your heart. Judah stood as surety. And when he starts back down the road with Benjamin to go get who? To go get Jacob now. And bring my old dad down here that I might see him. Go get him. And he's carrying Benjamin down there. Bless your heart. Don't you know Judah? Woo! Oh, y'all think I get happy at church. Y'all just don't know how happy Brother Judah must have been when Joseph revealed himself to him and said, I am thy brother Joseph, that you thought was dead, but I'm alive. Y'all think I get happy at church? Judah got real happy. Let me tell you something. When the quickening spirit of the Almighty God in heaven comes and borns you again, and then the gospel makes sense and shows you again what a bankrupt sinner, what a stranger, what a heathen you are in your flesh, and what the Spirit of God has done for you by His marvelous grace. Bless your heart. That ought to cause us to be happy at the camp meeting in Cuero, Texas. Amen. Amen. We're in Stratton, but whatever. Wherever I'm at. Yeah. I mean, you ought to be happy this afternoon, because guess what? You had a surety. You had a Savior in glory that says to His Father, Lord, I'll go pay it for him. I'll go pay it. I'll go smart for him. I'll go and I'll do what they can't do. They're going to be bankrupt. We have looked down through the annals of time and we see what Adam's going to do. And he's going to plunge his entire estate into a sin, a curse of sin and death. And I know it and I can see it. The God of heaven, He who knows the end from the beginning, saw what we were by nature. And His Son says, I'll pay the price. And look here, this idea, I've heard it preached in my life. I was going to give you that text, Brother Jeb. Don't forget that text. I got to show you that the Lord's our surety. Hebrews chapter 7 and 22, right? It says, but I'm not going to read it all for time. By so much was Jesus made what? Made a surety of a better testament.
Amen.
He was made a surety for you and I. You believe He smarted for the strangers? Last year when we was at Bethel Church, and I tried to preach on Solomon. Oh, thank God for these little folks that love the Lord. Thank God for the little princes among Israel, Brother Sonny. I mean, Brother James, I didn't know how I really done that day, but I thought I glorified my Savior and tried to edify the church. Brother Jeb, I barely sat down. And old John T. patted me on the leg. He said, you done good, but you didn't take it to Calvary. He's her daddy. Preach. No matter what we preach, we take it cross country to Calvary.
Amen.
Take it cross country to Calvary. I'll not get accused by my little boy today for not taking it to Calvary. When the Lord was on this earth and walked here, He knew full well what His purpose was in being here.
Amen.
Oh, sure, set up the church, do miracles by the wayside. Oh, His marvelous miracles and wonders. But the ultimate job, the climax, the pinnacle point of all of human history. For 4,000 years, they had prophet after prophet, sign after sign, saying that He's coming, He's coming, He's coming. Where He's going to be born, when He's going to be born, how He's going to... By a virgin, the whole, it's all laid out before you for 4,000 years.
Right.
And bless your heart, it says, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, made under the law, to condemn the law. Y'all know the text over there. He's in Galatians, right? Look here. The Lord was born on time and He died on time.
Amen.
Bless your heart, the very idea when the Lord was over there praying, Lord, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. I've heard it preached that the Lord was trying to get out of going to Calvary. I won't have it this afternoon. The Lord, the book tells me that His face was set like a flint towards Calvary. He knew very well what was facing Him. He knew what was coming. He knew what it was going to feel like when they plucked the beard, the hair off of His beard. He knew what it was going to feel like when they laid Him out there and beat Him with a cat of nine tails. He knew what it was going to feel like when they put the nails in His hands and put Him up there on Calvary. But bless your heart this afternoon. The book says, he that is a surety for a stranger will have to smart for it. You talk about hurting in the flesh. It hurt your Savior and mine. I can only imagine. Oh, I can only imagine how much pain my Lord went through when they did. When man, listen, Brother Mike. When man did all they could to Him, His visage marred more than any man. I'm telling you, they beat Him beyond recognition. Oh, bless your heart. I'm telling you, they had done all they could. And they stretched Him out on Calvary and hung Him between two thieves. And bless your heart, there He is till high noon. They have spat on Him. They have mocked Him. Oh, there He is covered in blood, sweat, and human spittle. There He is. I can only imagine what it must have felt like when our Savior was smarting for a bunch of strangers like you and me this afternoon, knowing what we were, knowing that we were called, we were aliens. Oh, bless your heart, we were strangers, we were heathens. But I'm going there, why? Because I must smart for those that are strangers, because I love them with an everlasting love. I loved them before the world ever was. I'm going to love them when I'm hanging on Calvary, and I'm going to love them when I come off. Bless your heart, but listen to me, at high noon, man's done all that he can do. He's wagged his hand. He's mocked him. He said, oh, others he saved, himself he cannot. Hell, they walked by. Come off. One of the thieves said, save yourself and save us. Oh, but he, you know when that thief said that, Brother Mosley, save yourself and save us. You know the Lord didn't answer that. He didn't say a word. You ever thought about it? He didn't say a word when that thief said that. It was almost like the silence was deafening. It was almost like the Lord said, it's better not to come off of a cross. It's better to come out of a grave.
Amen.
It's better to come out of a grave. You just wait 3 days and three nights and I'll show you. You just wait 3 days and three nights. I'm not done yet. Satan was there and his demons do. Oh, that Satan thought he had him right where he wanted him. He knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. I've got him right. Oh, I'm finally getting done with him. And then it says that high noon came. And the earth quaked and the rocks rent. Oh, and the sun, listen now, the sun refused to shine. I've heard it preached, the sun refused to shine because her Creator was dying. I don't have a problem with that. But I'm going to tell you, I think it's something more. Because when I go back to the Old Testament, back to the law day, and we on Leviticus 16, and we have that lamb's blood, we have that goat's blood, and we've got to carry it all the way in there to the holiest of all and sprinkle that mercy seat that's overcame with an outstretched arm. Y'all know about this. Y'all heard Leviticus 16 preached all your life. He goes in, a high priest can only go there once a year. And he goes, Brother David Montgomery, by himself. He goes by himself. The people can't see him going in there. Who is our Lord now while he's hanging on Calvary? He is our great high priest. He's the mercy seat, and it's his own blood sprinkling the mercy seat. And the high priest, the mercy seat, the sacrifice, the blood, it's all the same man for the first and only time in history. For 4,000 years, we've been pointing to this day. And there the Lord's extended between heaven and earth, taking care of a bunch of strangers. So that you're no longer strangers anymore. Now you're fellow servants. Now you're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You that was without in the world without hope. Oh, bless your heart. Now you've been, listen to me. Now you've been brought nigh. You've been brought nigh to the kingdom of God. We've been brought into it. Oh, bless your heart. We ought to rejoice. I believe the book teaches me that we, the Gentiles, bless your heart, we ought to bring forth the praises that Israel never brought forth. Huh? Amen. We ought to bring forth praises that Israel never brought forth.
Amen.
That scares me, don't it, y'all? Why do you say it scares you, preacher? Look, we've got complacency that has set up in so many places. The idea, I talk around someplace, they have the idea, well, we the Old Baptist Church, we're the Primitive Baptist, we've got the truth, we're going to have it, it'll be here, we just got it. Brother Sonny, I'm sorry, but that is a wrong attitude. That is a wrong attitude, Brother Mark. Don't you get some big head, oh, we're the Primitive Baptist, we've got the truth, and we're just always going to have it, and the Lord can't do nothing about it. Have you lost your mind? That's what Israel thought. That's what Israel thought, folks.
Right.
We're Israel. Our father be Abraham. Bless your heart. What we need to do is we need to get back to remembering that we are strangers. But you're no more strangers because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, he that is surety for a stranger must smart for it. He smarted for it at the hands of sinful men. But ultimately, the price of redemption is going to be paid. Remember I told you the sun refused to shine? The sun went out. There's several reasons you can come up with. I kind of figure it's because the sun refused to shine for 3 hours from high noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Because the God of justice, the God who demanded justice, was going to pour out the wrath that you and I well deserved because of my sin. Brother James, because of what I am. Because of my evil thoughts. Because I hadn't done what I should have done. And I've done more than what I should have done. It's sin, it's iniquity, and we've all got it in us. And this man, Jesus Christ, hangs on Calvary, and the very justice and wrath that you deserve, he poured it out on his own son because he was made to be surety for a bunch of strangers like us, and he had to smart for it in the hands of sinful men and at the hands of his own Father.
Amen.
And I tell you right now that the God of heaven was not going to allow man to see what he was fixing to do to his own son for those 3 hours on Calvary. But when it was all over with and our Savior comes on the other side of it and son returns, what does our Savior say? He says, Father. Now when this all started, he called him God. My God, my God. Remember now, he'd always called him Father up to that moment. My Father hears me always. I pray to the Father. The Father will do all that I ask. But on the day of the crucifixion, he called him God at high noon. But when the sacrifice was completed and God had accepted that sacrifice, what did he say? He says, Father. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he bowed his head between the locks of his shoulders and gave up the ghost. Bless your heart. I'm glad he was made surety for something as bankrupt as me, aren't you? I'm glad not only was he surety in my place, in my stead, oh, my redemptive surety, but he's my daily surety. He stands at the right hand of the majesty on high right now, making intercession so that he might come. He says, I'll go away, but I'll not leave you comfortless. For if I go away, I'll send a comforter to meet with you. And wherever they meet together in my name, there will I be in the midst. Oh, bless your heart. I wanted to see my brethren from wherever you're from. I drove all the way here to see your smiling faces. But ultimately speaking, this afternoon, Jonathan drove from Alabama to get to see my surety. To see my surety, to feel my surety. And let him tell me one more time in my soul, I love you. I paid the price for you. Oh, bless your heart. Every one of these brethren that's prayed during this meeting, they all pray the same as we do in Alabama. In the name of Jesus Christ. Why do we pray in that name? Because that name is our sure hope. It's our sure foundation. Oh, bless your heart. So what our surety was, he was made to smart for a stranger. I hope this afternoon you see yourself as that stranger. One time an alien, but now brought in by the sweet blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Amen. Is our prayer.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. Some of my favorite words in Scripture. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. When I thought of that surety smarting, it had to be for something. Yeah. It wasn't for a chance.
No. Amen.
It was for it.
Right.
How shall he not? Right. And there ain't no law added to it, brother.
Right.
He did it.
Yes, sir.
And that surety that smarted, I thought of this song, 462. When I survey the wondrous cross. We'll sing number 462. If there be anyone here that has a desire to join the church or any representative here, come forward as we sing. 462.